Oh God, our Father, we gather on this morning. Oh, what a morning. And we rejoice and we bring you our great thanks for the victory that you accomplished in raising your Son from the dead. Hallelujah. We praise your name. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness that you expressed in so many ways. Your faithfulness to this world in sending your Son into it. Your faithfulness to your Son in vindicating the righteous blood that was shed. And you raised him from the dead, proclaiming that death had no right to him. Death could not hold him. You burst the grave asunder, and you raised him. And you raised him into a resurrected body, a transformed body, and ultimately would bring him back into your presence and enthrone him on high. And we thank you that you have extended to us that resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, that you would pour out your Spirit, and that as Peter proclaimed in that sermon on that first day, that you did not hold the sins of people against them, but that you proclaimed that though they had committed this tremendous sin, yet repentance was now possible. Forgiveness of sins was at hand. And you called upon all people to repent. Father, we gather here as those who have come, you have brought back to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the resurrection life that you've infused into us. We thank you that this Jesus, who was firstborn of all creation, that you have now appointed as firstborn from the dead, so that it is not only he who has risen, but that all your people will follow in his footsteps. Father, we thank you for baptism that symbolizes that, as we die to the old nature and rise into new life. Father, we proclaim the Lord's death and the Lord's resurrection. And we ask that you infuse us with your Spirit and you fill every part of our being with his resurrection life. And we look forward to that day when we shall follow him through death into resurrection bodies and into your very presence. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise your name that Christ is risen from the dead. In his name we proclaim. Amen. Well, this morning John is going to be bringing us a resurrection message, and for a scripture reading, to prepare us for that, I'd like to read the resurrection account from Luke's gospel. So Luke chapter 24, and this is what he records. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Well, good morning and happy Easter to everyone. Christ is risen. Well, last week, April 12th, marked the anniversary of the bombing of the Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina. It marked the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War. And over the next 4 years, there'll be reenactment of battles and commemorative ceremonies over much of the eastern part of the United States. But unless you're deeply interested in Civil War history, unless you're a Civil War buff, I doubt that you will take much notice to these events, especially out here in California. Certainly these events, the Civil War, changed the course of our nation dramatically. It was the bloodiest war of U.S. history, over 600,000 deaths. But after 150 years, we were removed a bit from this epic event. In contrast, during Holy Week, we remember and reflect upon an event that took place some 2,000 years ago. This event featured the death of only one person, but that death is remembered and reenacted every year around the entire world. And then on Easter Sunday, people gather all over the world to remember the resurrection of this man from the dead. The death and resurrection of Jesus changed everything and ever since has had a dramatic impact on people's lives. And yet, we might be so familiar with the story and so familiar with celebrating the resurrection that we can easily remember it in a somewhat detached, impersonal, objective fashion. We can be more concerned about the ham dinner or decorating eggs for the children. But what if you had lived in the time of Jesus? What if you were walking the streets in Jerusalem following the events of the death and resurrection of Jesus? What if, in the weeks following the resurrection, you had been near the synagogue in Jerusalem and all of a sudden you heard a voice booming out over the crowd? Everyone, gather around. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a man I've come to know by the name of Jesus, and I want to tell you how he changed my life. My name is Peter. My brother Andrew and I grew up in Galilee. We were simple fishermen. We really were not educated. I became intrigued by a man named John who was talking about repentance, and he introduced me to a man by the name of Jesus. One day, after an unfruitful night of fishing, we were coming back to shore, and Jesus asked if he could get on my boat and preach to the crowds, and he did that very thing. And then he asked me to go out to deep water. I was so tired. I was exhausted from being out fishing all night, but I did as Jesus suggested. You can't believe what happened. Our nets filled with a huge catch of fish. When we came to shore, Jesus told me and my brother Andrew to follow him as if we had a choice. He said he would make us fishers of men. We left everything and we went with him. He told me that he would even change my name from Peter to Cephas, the rock. Well, that began a 3-year journey of being with Jesus night and day. There were 12 of us, including my brother and our fishing partners, James and John. From time to time, others joined us, but eventually they all dropped off. We witnessed some amazing things. Jesus teaching huge crowds, performing amazing miracles, casting out demons. Nothing had happened like this before in Israel since the days of Elijah and Elisha. We saw Jesus feed a huge crowd with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. One night we were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and we looked and Jesus came to was walking towards us on water. He told me that I could do the same thing, so I gave it a whirl. It worked for a little bit until I looked down and then I began to sink. James and John and I witnessed Jesus bringing back to life a little girl who had died. And the 3 of us saw Jesus transfigured on a mountain together with Moses and Elijah. Maybe some of you have heard of these stories about Jesus. But being with Jesus was really confusing. There were times when he was nice to us, But then there were other times when he scolded us for unbelief. I mean, of all the guys I got in trouble the most, I kept putting my foot in my mouth. He was also very nice and welcoming to all kinds of people, sinners, tax gatherers, prostitutes, lepers, children, and women. But then he could have this really cutting tongue when he talked to the Jewish religious authorities. Jesus often taught in parables, and that was confusing too. But then later he would draw us aside and he would try to explain what it was that he was getting at. Through all of this, we came to believe that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, the expected one, the anointed one. We came to believe that Jesus was going to bring the kingdom of God in glory, and that we, the 12 of us, were going to have a front row seat. We were so excited and we couldn't wait. But one of the things that Jesus kept talking about over and over again was the fact that he had to go to Jerusalem and die. And that was really confusing, and it unsettled all of us. How was he going to bring about this glorious kingdom of God if he died? In fact, one day I told him that he wouldn't die. I wouldn't let it happen. He said something pretty nasty to me that day. Just a few weeks ago, we came to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. None of us were excited about doing this because things had really heated up with the Jewish authorities and we didn't exactly know what was going to happen. We gathered in a small room for the Passover meal. You can't believe what Jesus did. He took some water and he took a towel and he got on his knees and he washed all of our feet. Again, I said something really stupid. During dinner, he told us that one of us would betray him. All of us pledged our support. All of us said we would die with him. But then he told me that I would deny him 3 times during the night. Later that night, Jesus was arrested and questioned by the Jewish authorities. I waited outside. I was terrified. When people asked me if I was the one that was with Jesus, I denied it. And by morning, Jesus' words came true. I was so horribly ashamed. Eventually, Jesus was taken to Pilate. The chief priests and elders manipulated Pilate and the crowd to crucify him. And that is what happened. It was horrible. We were so devastated. All of our hopes and dreams for the glorious kingdom of God suddenly had gone up into smoke. And then we thought that we would be the next to die. But then a couple of days later, something amazing happened. Some women who had gone to the tomb came back and told us that the stone that covered the opening to the tomb had been rolled away. And when they looked inside the tomb, there wasn't a body. John and I went to look for ourselves. And we arrived at the tomb. Sure enough, the stone had been rolled away. And when we looked inside, there was nothing but some linens wrapped up in the corner. John was so excited, but I was just shaking my head, trying to figure out what all of this meant. Did somebody steal the body? But later, we're gathered in an upper room. Jesus appeared to us. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't come through a door. All of a sudden, he was just there. At first, we didn't recognize him. He looked so different. But then we saw his hands and his feet. And we knew that this was Jesus. And then we realized that God had raised him from the dead. A few days later, some of us had gone back to Galilee and were fishing. We had been out all night and had not caught anything. When we were coming back to shore, Jesus was waiting for us. He told us to put our net into the water. I bet you can guess what happened. Yes, that's right. another huge catch of fish. I still felt horrible about denying him three times, but he restored me, and he commissioned me to share the good news and begin to teach those who would believe in him. Now this Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, has ascended into heaven, and he sits at God's right hand. Now on Pentecost, just last week, the Holy Spirit was poured out on us who believed, and we began to understand all the things that Jesus has spoken to us. We began to see that Jesus is the Messiah, and that the kingdom of God has come. It's just so much different than we had imagined. For all of you who are Jews, Jesus fulfills all of our prophecies, all of our feasts, all of our sacrificial system. He is the Passover lamb. And he is the one who died so that we do not have to die. Jesus is the firstborn of a new creation. Life in the age to come has begun. He is the resurrection and the life. And today, right here in Jerusalem, I am inviting you to believe and to have a new life, to become a part of the new creation. I'm glad you asked. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. What if you had been there on that day? What if you had heard the story for the first time? How would you have responded? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that is essentially the invitation that you received when you came to believe. And if you are perhaps in the process of coming to knowing Jesus Christ, this is the invitation to believe in him, to repent, and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you can receive new life. On Good Friday, we remember Jesus' death, the sacrifice that was paid in full for the debt of our sin. Today, on Easter, we remember the glorious resurrection. But what exactly does this mean? Well, first, resurrection means that Jesus was validated as the Son of God, and he was vindicated over his enemies. He ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand, and he is now the supreme sovereign ruler of all creation. Paul prayed that the Ephesians might know the power of God, and he goes on to say that that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. See, there is evil in the world, but all the evil, all the illness, all the disease, all the heartaches, are bounded by God's sovereign care. Evil is not running rampant. Jesus is sitting on his throne, and nothing, absolutely nothing, happens without his will. Second, resurrection means that the power of death has been broken. See, it's death that creates great fear in us and robs us of our joy and freedom. Without the resurrection, we're held into bondage with these fears. We fear getting old. We fear what's going to happen to us. But no longer. Because when Christ was raised from the dead, he defeated once and for all the enemy of death. Death is no longer the final word. Jesus has conquered death. Death no longer has power to control our lives. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And Paul said to the Corinthians, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Today on Resurrection Sunday, we gather to say, thanks be to God, because he has given us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, the resurrection means that Jesus has gone before us to prepare a permanent dwelling place for us. Jesus told his disciples in that upper room on that last night, "My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is what our heart hungers for and yearns for. We long for a home, a place where we belong, a place where there is no suffering and no tears, a place where we can experience love and joy and peace. God himself has put that desire in our hearts. We know that we were made for something special. We know deep down in our hearts that we were made for something that we cannot attain in this world. We long for it. We hunger for it. And this is what the resurrection offers to us. What we lack in our earthly homes, God offers to us in a heavenly home in the face of his Son Jesus. And this is what gives us our hope, our sure and certain hope. In the face of suffering, struggles, we will not be disappointed. God was faithful to his Son, Jesus Christ. God was faithful to his covenant people, Israel. And God will be faithful to us as well. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands. Fourth, the resurrection means that the new creation has begun. Paul tells the Colossians, "He, Jesus, is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, not just some things, everything, he might have supremacy." See, when Jesus appeared to the women and to the disciples and then to others following the resurrection, people didn't recognize him. Why? Because he looked different. He looked different because he had a resurrected, redeemed, glorified body. And this means that what Israel had looked forward to, the resurrection of the dead, to receive a glorified body in the future, had now entered into the present, and this new creation, this new heavens and earth, had begun. And finally, resurrection means that since a new creation has begun, we can live a life in the age to come right now. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to have heaven. Jesus, God raises us from the dead, not only in the future, but in the present, just as he has done with his Son Jesus. God will give us an eternal home in the future, but he also gives us that home right now, today, in our hearts, when he cries out to us, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter." Right now, in your heart, in the center of your being, you are home with me. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. See, the gospel doesn't promise us a patched up version of our old life, a life that is welded back together or fixed with glue and duct tape, even though we have our old body. The inside is brand new. The inside will live for all eternity. And this means that sin no longer has power over our lives. No longer are we a slave to sinful habits. The truth has set us free. And right now, in the present, we can live a new life. How does this happen? We are buried with Him, Christ, through baptism and death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, our sinful self, our broken, fallen humanity has died with Christ. It was crucified with Christ. And it's dead and buried and gone. And now we are raised with Christ. The result is that we can live a new life as part of the new creation. We are no longer controlled by the things that we used to do. We can live, we can walk, we can talk, and we can do the very things that Jesus did. Resurrection happens every single day when people turn to the Lord. God has the power to bring life out of death. And that is what we celebrate today on Easter morning. Amen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Praise be to God. Amen.